Episode 174. Tonight is Thursday, October 24th. Welcome to Steel and Nas, presented by Hedgebetter. Steel in the house. Magic had something. Anton, I'm so far in his head. He's at work right now. Just wrote a poem. Should I recite the poem? Is it
maybe?
Let's see.
Give it a quick look. Before.
I'm gonna go for it. So just right out of the shoot, we do Thursday night bets every week, and he took the Rams alone. After you've hit, yep. No, I can't really say all this. This is fucked.
Well,
long story short, he like if he has to lose, has to pour 2 gallons of milk on his head. But I'm really not putting up what he's putting down. He wrote a whole essay when he was at work just to get at me. So I'm definitely in his head. Yeah, good to know. Our producer texted me right when I was looking at my phone. That's why I'm kind of hiccuping here. But a lot on the horizon here. The Celtics raised banner 18. We'll start somewhere positive.
18.
Yeah. Patriots all-time dumpster fire. You know, Gerard Mayo, is he quickly on his way out? Is there any positives to take out of Sunday going into this Sunday? Playing the Jets this week. We'll have our week 8 picks. Steele will take his time with his World Series prediction. I wonder who he's going to pick. Possibly the greatest matchup in the history of baseball, I'm hearing. Bruins, you know, kind of up and down, had a terrible road trip. Montgomery pushed Marshawn or some stupid thing, but we'll give our takes on that. Moving TV reviews, which we like to let rip, but, you know, before I get started, I want to give a big shout-out to the law office of Patrick J. Foley. If you need, you know, real estate legal advice, you need anything like that, get on over to 265 Willard Street, Quincy, Mass, or just DM him. I think any source of communication, he's going to do whatever it takes to help you. So
you ring, he'll answer.
Yeah. Oh, big time. Well, what's producer Justin saying? Is there anything good after you've hit record? Oh, damn. All right. He said something about the soundboard before you start, but I'm pretty sure I got it underway, so... we're good here. Celtics raise, yes. Celtics raise banner 18. Beat the piss out of the Knicks. You know, banner 18 night was just unbelievable. Starting with the Whit Grosbeck picture of him at like the Commons, just laying down, feeling it out. Then you have all the Celtics legends coming in.
All of them. Like, it was a very, very great showing.
The Bob Cousy, you know, 90 plus years old. Obviously, everyone wants to talk about the whole. Now that they don't really give a shit, it's 10, 15 years later. Ray Allen coming in with the big three. Like, that was fun to see.
Yeah, still cool, yeah. 100%. I mean, it was an electric ceremony. It was very good.
Yeah, like, Jason Tatum saying, let's run it back. Like, very even keel. And then they come out and absolutely... I don't even think the Knicks play that bad. But they just fucking shit on them offensively.
No, absolutely. I think it was Kevin Harland, whoever fucking was announcing or whatever. Yeah. Like, he was like... it was like late in the third quarter when the game is like already a bloodbath. He was like, the Knicks are shooting 60%. Yeah. And they're down like 30.
And then they were like, the one thing you can take away is their closeouts. I'm like, their closeouts, they're doing the best they can. They're literally getting beat because all five guys on the court at all times can just nail threes in your face.
Yeah.
That's what was happening. Jason Tatum, I had him. I think he was plus 5,000, scored 50 points. I wish the game was a little bit closer. He might have had a chance to do it. He had 37 after three quarters. But, I mean, JB, JT, they'll get it done. The only negative part was they didn't break the record at the end when they had all the bench guys in. Do you happen to see that?
Wildly disrespectful.
Yeah, no, it was...
the last 7 minutes, maybe plus of that game, were literally just, like, chuck up a three and try to break that record.
We were literally laughing. Like, people
were there was no offense. There was no nothing. The crowd's going crazy with every shot.
I do love the Joe Mazzulla again. Like, they had a chance to do it with, like, 30-plus seconds left, and they dribbled it out. You had a chance. You didn't do it. Let's be, you know.
Yeah, it was like 13 in a row
or something. Let's act like we've been here before and, you know, dribble the clock out. On the other end, the Knicks, like, obviously just 1 of 82. But... Karl Anthony Towns, I'm just not afraid of him. Not afraid of that man.
Not at all, but as you're saying with the 1 of 82, like you can't be too down on yourself as a Knicks fan.
Oh, no, absolutely not.
Yeah.
No.
It was not your night.
No, it was not just it.
Like, that was game one of the season, long season to go, but that was how they threw up the banner, and that was the Celtics night 1,000,000,000%.
Yeah, no, and everyone thinks now that just because, like, some teams lose, like, lose on their opening night after the banner, that like every team is going to lose. So a lot of people, the Knicks, I think it was like a 5-point spread, but turned out to be, you know, something crazy.
Well, and that's true because for a lot of teams too. I mean, some teams, you know what I mean? Like the Bannonite, obviously not saying it's not great for a Boston Celtics. I mean, how long we've been waiting for Banner 18, but it's like the culture of this team and everything. Like for some teams, that's literally the biggest moment in like the history of that city.
Oh yeah.
So it's like tough to play that one game when fucking, like if you're the everyone's only on banner ever up there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it's tough to fucking.
Well, you think about it too. Everyone thinks it's a shoe-in that we're going to win it again. They haven't put up a banner in 16 years.
Yep.
And I know that that's, you know, not that long of a time when you look at other franchises, but this is the Boston Celtics we're talking about here. They got everyone back, their top four, you know, four core of, you know, signed extensions. Just seems like this is a team of, not destiny, because they just seem like they're going to go down as one of the best teams of all time. But, you know, game one of 82, like I said, long way to go. Tonight, Thursday, recording. They're up 10 on the Wizards right now. Jason Tatum is 20 and a half. Seems like they're not forgetting about that DNP with Team USA.
No, they're lights out, and it was perfect execution. There was not, from the game, there was not a single bad takeaway of everything. Every point, everyone played their role great. Everyone did well.
Another thing of the other night, they're like really, they're every time there's like 2 seconds on the clock and it's a half court shot, they're literally looking for Peyton Pritchard.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like sharpshooter.
No, but like even like there was one the other night, like he wasn't even open. Like he's like their half court specialist.
Yeah.
Which I like the kid. That was me at like Sacred Heart Youth Basketball. I could hit some deep rangers, couldn't do anything else.
He wanted the record more than anyone else when they were chucking it up at the
end. Oh, him and Hauser. Him and Hauser. Yeah. Big,
he was
big time.
Chucking it. Like, am I open? Nope, but let's get this.
Oh, for sure. You know, Horford, Tillman. I like Tillman, you know, a year under. Now he's going to have a whole year with this team. You know, Cornette, they're really just battling out for who's going to be the guy after Horford when Porzingis comes back. Who knows when Porzingis will come back, but you know, this team looks like it's going to be a tough out come playoff time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's and with the Porzingis thing, I mean, fucking sit him.
Yeah, yeah. May. We'll see. You see in May, possibly June, possibly never.
Yeah, do not.
They said he's supposed to come back in December, but that's too early, in my opinion.
No, we don't need. No.
Yeah, no.
That gives way too coming much time for him to get
some type
more
of knee
injured.
Surgery.
Yeah. Sit that dude as long as you can.
Oh, brutal. So they, to start the season coming up, they have the. Wow, they're really showing the whole schedule here, huh? They got the Pistons this weekend. They got the Bucks next week. So the Bucks Pacers, they'll get, you know, some good competition there. But Wizards, Pistons, you got home and away and away with the Charlotte Hornets. So a little bit of an easy schedule besides the Bucks and Pacers coming up. But, you know, early regular season basketball, honestly, no one really gives a shit.
Yeah.
As long as you're playing well.
Exactly.
And you're not getting injured. Like, you're not getting these long-term knee injuries. That's what a great team is there, you know. What can hurt them is actually getting hurt.
Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of the same as last year where it's, you know, it's kind of like see in the Eastern Conference Finals and take it from there.
Oh, for sure.
You know, as long as the health is there, obviously.
I mean, I fully think that they're just going to come in and take away the East, no problem. The NBA Finals is always a toss-up. I know last year, like, plenty of people took the Mavs, but you got to look at the Celtics here. Their DNA, they've already done it before, been there, done that. A lot of team chemistry. They have great coaching, obviously, from up and bottom. I mean, people were dapping up, like Brad Stevens. He got a huge ovation. Think about, you know, probably 3-4 years ago, he was a failing head coach. I mean, they were winning games, don't get me wrong, but they were not the Boston Celtics they were supposed to be.
Yeah.
You know, took the GM role when Danny Ainge stepped down and has really rolled with that and has made this team quite, you know, a juggernaut.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. It ended up being an obvious great for the team because you, like, love Brad Stevens, but you swapped out, like, little nerd who coached at Butler for like a deranged psychopath who wants to just kill everybody.
Yeah, no one even knew that.
Perfectly.
Yeah, no one even knew that going in. We're like, who's this guy? We questioned him a lot, but obviously answered the bell.
No, it's got the mentality down. He gave them the edge that they needed to just go out there and destroy, and they have.
Glad we don't have anyone like Bronny James on our team.
Oh, dude. Shoving that down our face so much. Gives a fuck.
Oh, boy. So from the Boston Celtics, every, you know, grace is, it's great. Banner 18 set up, Wonderful future ahead. So many, you know, good names, you know, people excited about it. And now we go off into a dumpster fire called the New England Patriots. Coming off a tough London loss to 1-5 Jacksonville Jaguars, 32-16. I mean, there's not really much to say of, you know, it keeps being repetitive. They're just a not really good defensively sound team. They're pretty poor, you know, coach team. Another bright week of rookie quarterback Drake May. That's the positive to take out of it. But what's gone on there the past, you know, week of just the press conferences and the, you know, things going all around that team of, you know, selfishness and I can't say this, I'm going to say that. I don't know, man. This is an all-time low for the Patriots.
It's what a team that sucks looks like, man.
Yeah, but
people are complaining. People are saying fucking they're doing up like cryptic Instagram posts and stuff. This is what a team that sucks does. Team sucks.
But you can suck and still be working to improve. This team has gotten worse every week, and that's what I've really hated about it. There's been ways to not coach better, play better. Like I said, Drake May has come in, and he clearly has talent. Even last game, I think he had whatever the rating was, around 100, two touchdown passes. Didn't turn over the ball. But defense is, you know, they've been disappointing. That when it comes to, you know, Gerard Mayo came out, said they were a soft team. I heard Bill Belichick, his counter, he had all those guys last year. They all played pretty tough for him. Just publicly as a first-year coach to go out with the media and call your team soft and not do it in-house, I just think that shows a big-time lack of maturity. I mean, everyone said that he has at least another year, but I mean, the way this is going, man, I don't know.
Yeah, I think it was like a reverse, because obviously he was like his career was under Belichick, so he knew like his way of doing it. I feel like it was a reverse thing, like he was kind of like called him soft, see if it fires him up kind of thing, and I think it just completely backfired on him. And I think part of that is how this culture for this team has just been the Bill Belichick way, where everything's quiet, you have no fucking idea what's going on in that locker room. And now it's just out in the open. It's everywhere. Yeah. Everyone is saying everything. Everyone's saying this. Everyone's saying that. And it's bad.
Well, the big thing, too, when I look, and I guess it is unfair to compare what they did in the past with all-time coach Bill Belichick. But even the last 3-4 games, you think, you know, going to the second half, all right, what adjustments do we need to make on defense if you start playing better? You've seen, once they come over the half, the last 3-4 games, things have gotten progressively worse. Defensively on the side of the ball and – I mean, you can't really talk too much shit about the offense right now. They're playing as best as they can. Yeah. Obviously, to your point of this is a bad football team, offensive line is pretty bad. When they didn't have DeMario Douglas, when he came out of the game, you saw how, you know, much they lacked at the receiver position. He wasn't really making – he was just making short passes at that point where it was like, all right, we're not really going to take a chance here. Even the go for two thing – when you didn't have to at the point, I hated that. I get that Belichick would never go for two till you had to. But, like, I don't know. If you're a team that's just trying to stay in the game, why would you go for two at that point? I don't, because at that point they were down 15. If they kicked the extra point, they would have been down, like, 8 instead of 7. So they got 6, and it became still a two-possession game because they went for two, didn't get it, so it was a 9-point game. So you're already... you're two scores behind the whole game. And you had a hot start. You went up 10-0. Drake May went right down the field, first drive. It looked pretty promising, especially you're playing a team that hasn't had no success this year, too, but obviously didn't come out the way they wanted.
Yeah, London. Fucking England. Bastards.
A lot of big Jags fans.
Yeah, no, it was tough though, and because that was one you would love to see the winning. There's a lot of games we're not gonna win. Jaguars is one. I wish we won.
At that point, what,
they're not good either. Like we suck.
What
they
game
suck.
Can they win? At that point, it's what if they can't win that game? I mean, the Jets are coming in, and the Jets have had their tough time, but they beat the piss out of the Patriots. Thursday Night Football a couple weeks ago. And then you got Tennessee should be a winnable game. You go out to Chicago, who knows what, you know, there should be some, you know, opportunity for wins here, but I don't think you're going to get one. I personally think you might not win another game for the rest of the year. And if you go 1-16, I don't know how you bring the coach back. I don't know how.
Yeah, that'll be tough. That will be tough.
Because you need to show that you're doing something to make this team show signs of improvement. And I'm not even talking about wins and losses. Like, obviously, I'm saying, yeah, they're going to lose out. But if you do lose out, you're clearly not showing any progress. So, like, at that point, what, like, RKK, like, what are we doing here?
No, I mean, yeah. They are the worst team in the league.
They, like, no question. And it is, like, if Jacoby Brissett was still playing quarterback, you wouldn't find me dead watching this team.
You would be extra the worst team in the league.
Yeah, but now I'm watching because I get the skill we have at quarterback. I get that this guy has the opportunity to be a special player at some point of his career, but he needs the right guys around him. And you're even seeing right now, he doesn't really have the guys around him. He's still like getting shit done. Yeah. I mean, they said that, what's he has 5 touchdown passes and like at least 250 a game. So the only other quarterback to do that in his first 2 games, I get it, it's a 2-game sample size, is Dan Marino. That's like pretty good numbers, pretty good company.
Pretty wild for Dan Marino. Like, that was like 1980-fucking-3.
Yeah. I mean, he's just slinging it. He's slinging it. But, you know, Jets come in this week. I believe it's a 7.5-point spread. Should be a tough go. They got Devontae Adams. They're coming off a tough loss to Pittsburgh, which everyone said that was a must-win game. It's 7. I'll leave it at 7. Devontae Adams. This has to be a must-win game for the Jets. If they lose to the Patriots, their season's just about over. I mean, 2-6, it's going to be a tough way to get in the playoffs. Patriots, honestly, not even like sniffing any type of postseason aspirations. I've been saying the last couple weeks, I'm like, okay, this game looks like reachable. They can they're going to lose, but they're going to cover the spread. I'm completely off that now. I just think every game they're going to lose by double digits. I think this game, Jets win easily. I think it's going to be like 31, I'll call it 31-14, 2 tutties by Drake May again.
I kind of like us to cover just because it's like season on the line, Jets, Aaron Rodgers, just 2 choke artist sucky things.
I'd love to
and
see
I
it.
I feel like they lay an egg. We're so bad that them laying an egg, like we still lose.
Yeah.
But we might cover.
Yeah. I just don't see it. The defense
like,
is...
we're awful. We will not win. There is no chance we win.
I just don't get how bad the defense has gotten. Like, I've reiterated. I get you lost Judon, Barmore, Jawan Bentley, like, to start the season and everything. But you have all these other guys. You have decent amount of, you know, cornerback rotation. Keon White, supposed to be this guy who's kind of fallen away a couple games. I mean, Raekwon McMillan, Javon Tavai has been awful, you know, linebacker-wise. They've just been going right through him.
Yeah.
I expect Breece Hall to have a big – if you look at the fantasy football numbers, Breece Hall is going to have a big game. They're going to be able to – because they're going to start ground and pound, and then they just go back with the play-action pass. So I think Devontae Adams is going to cook whoever's open. I think there's going to be a lot of guys open. I can see the Jets scoring 30 points here, and they don't normally score 30 points in a game.
See, with the defense, too, like, you named, like, the players. Like, dude, they lost the greatest defensive mind in the history of the sport.
Yeah.
That's fucking pretty huge. Like, yeah.
And
it's not good, dude.
80-plus-year-old owner thought you could bring in an unqualified former, like, played in the NFL, don't get me wrong, was a linebacker coach, but tried grooming him being, like,
I get that. I mean, yeah. I think give him a shot to doing one of the, like, the sucky teams just, like, rotate the fucking shit-tier coaches that somehow keep getting jobs. I see, like, not delving into that market, like, where their head's at with that. But as of right now, it's just looking like it didn't work.
I just thought I was going to like Jerod Mayo more than, like, I now have. And, like, I'm like, so far, I get they're bad. I get they're 1-6. I get there's a lot more to worry about. But I think it starts with the head coach, and he's awful. Like, I don't think this – the offensive coordinator has been bad. They haven't really seen what you can have with Covington because the head coach kind of takes
some responsibilities. Oh, yeah, no, it's not Mayo. It's the staff.
Yeah, like, it's up and down.
It's the sideline.
But he hasn't said – like, verbally, he has not said anything to help himself out either.
No.
Like, blaming people, saying, oh, I didn't draft these guys, basically. Like,
oh, no, as much as it was awesome to see him not give anyone anything when we were great – when you fucking suck, this is like when you don't give anyone anything.
Yeah,
like, no. You should, like, be just quiet. Like, well, we're working on that. We'll talk about that later. Like,
but even last season, like as bad as they were, they like start like once they put Zappe in, they started to at least compete in some of these games, and they looked like they had ways that they were getting better on both all sides of the football. And I get there's still 10 more games to play. There's 10 more games to play. But I have not seen any like signs that they're going to improve. And that has, again, that has nothing to do in the win-loss column. Just to see this team contend and compete more in games.
Yeah, the losses are coming.
Yeah. Losses are coming. But again,
you want to look better. You want to see improvement. Yeah.
Like, are they going to cover? Are they going to be, you know, in a game when it comes down to the fourth quarter, are you actually going to give Drake May some reps to where he can go, he has a 2-minute drive to either win or lose a game? I'd like to see that. I don't think you're going to see that anytime soon. I know I'd like to see it this weekend, but I don't see it happening.
It's possible. Don't trust the Jets. Now, one thing I would like to say to the Jets fans, we here in New England knew we were going to suck. You guys thought you'd be good.
Yeah.
You fucking idiots.
That's big time.
You losers.
And they've lost to some bad teams. They lost to the Broncos.
No, they suck. They're
Broncos
not good
have a better year than usual. They lost to the Broncos. Steelers, I mean, they brought in Russell Wilson, who was a corpse, and they beat them handily last week. They lost a couple other bad games, too. Vikings have had a good year. Bills game was right there. So, yeah, they've played a couple close games. And then Niners opening night, they got smacked.
Well, yeah, that one, yeah. I'll give you that one. Yeah. That's fair.
Since we're, like, already counting, 7-7 Rams-Vikings. If the Vikings cover, Anton's going to pour 2 gallons of chocolate milk on his head. Like to see what happens.
Has Puka done anything?
Puka has 2 receptions, 34 yards. Kyron Williams has a tutty.
I love that for the long run. I didn't. My head was in a pretzel when they said he'd play tonight for fantasy.
Oh, wow.
Pretzel. I was like, do I bring him back? I was like, play restriction. I wasn't sure.
Yeah, I put in Cooper Kupp too, and he's got 0-0 right now. That's not a good start. But Justin Jefferson's already got 5 for 68 on one drive. So that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
He's pretty good.
So the rest of the slate looks like there's some winners and losers. You're going to see Jameis Winston start quarterback for the Ravens. Ravens favored by 8.5. That should be a good one. My lock of the week this week, and I didn't want to do it. It comes down to the injuries. It comes down to the people around this guy. Love Baker Mayfield. It's been a hell of a story. But you have Mike Evans and Chris Godwin out for the season. Both go down the same week last week. Atlanta on the road needs this game to take it over to the division. Favored by 2.5 points. I just think, you know, there's too many injuries with the Bucs right now. Mayfield, this would be a staple for, like, his resume if he won this game. I think this would be, like, huge to, like, beat a, you know, contending team without his receivers. But I got the Falcons. I got Kirk Cousins on the road covering 2.5.
Yeah?
Yeah.
No, sounds good. Yeah. Sounds good. I got the Eagles. Go Birds. Go Birds. Joe Dogs Burrow. At Cincy. Cincy's, they're on a bit of a winning streak, but that's against the Giants and the Browns. Two not very good teams.
Yeah, both these teams have had shaky starts.
Yeah, but I think the Eagles, I mean, Saquon absolutely killed it in his game back versus the Giants. I think the Eagles are starting to figure it out. Like, they were projected to be a very good team. I think it's starting to come together over there, and I think they take it to I know they won 2 in a row, but kind of a reeling Bengals team.
Yeah, Bengals run defense has been terrible this year. So I expect Saquon Barkley and Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, Jalen Hurts, yeah.
Yeah. A bonus pick. I've been big on the over-unders. I've been ripping overs. Bills, Seahawks defense, besides Julian Love, I like saw that in the Pats game, has been trash. 46.5, I love the over in this. I think this is like a shootout 30-something to 30-something. I'll take the over here. I don't know who's going to win the game. We'll stop there.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Let it ride.
And we got Sunday Night Football, a matchup that Dallas fans hate. The Dallas Cowboys are on the road, struggling at 3-3 against struggling 3-4, the San Francisco 49ers. 49ers favored by 4.5 points. Who do you like there, Steele?
It's tough because the Niners have so much questions. I think Debo's questionable. I think George Kittle's questionable. Because I like the Niners.
And Ayuk's off of the season.
I don't like the Cowboys. And the Cowboys have Parsons. He's questionable. I don't think he
practiced
today.
He hasn't played in a couple weeks.
Yeah. No, but he's still out this week, I think. So yeah. I like the 49ers.
Yeah, I love
I like the 49ers at home.
I love the Niners here. Cowboys, you can make them. I love Zeke Elliott. He had, you know, I liked him on the Patriots last year. Just a good dude. But the Cowboys have no running game. When you make them one-dimensional, you make that loser try to pass the ball. Niners going to get a lot of turnovers here. I love San Fran by a touchdown.
Yeah.
I think it's no question.
That shows you because Dak and Dak's like earlier years, like they always had like the best rushing attack.
Oh, best offensive line in football.
Yeah. Offensive line and that. So like his play action.
Yeah, you lose some guys.
Easy gimme.
Yeah.
Like easy gimme. And like now it's like, dude, like you actually have to do a good pass straight up.
All three of their wins, I don't think they played any one good. I'm pretty sure they were three stinkers. Monday Night Football.
Yeah, the Steelers.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Monday Night Football, Steelers hosting the Giants. Giants fell to the Eagles big time last week in the Saquon Barkley revenge game. Giants got Malik Nabers back. But the Steelers looked great last week against the Jets. Russell Wilson looked like he came back to like really good Russell Wilson.
Yeah, that was pretty
helped out by the defense too. I think their defense is flames. 6 points at home. Pittsburgh always plays close games, but I don't know, man. I kind of think they win by a touchdown.
No, Steelers, the Giants are, I think it was the Seahawks who they beat. Thank them for giving us the first overall pick because the Giants are that fucking bad too.
Yeah.
That team sucks. Steelers, especially at home, I like the Steelers.
At home, if this was on the road, I mean, it'd probably be a 3-point spread, but I don't know. There's nothing in me this year. Any game, I've fallen into it every week. They're 2-5, win or lose, but I'm not taking the Giants under any circumstances.
No, yeah. Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
So that's our wrap for week 8. Week 7, were there any surprise wins? Got my Bills. Lions won a close one against the Vikes. Commanders, our guy Jaden Daniels got hurt in a win. Chiefs outlasted the Niners, and the Ravens beat up on the Bucks. I mean, that's pretty much covers it. For NFL football, was kind of a boring slate, but hey, we got the bets and we got it done.
Happen. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Exactly. Next, going forward, the Bruins sitting at 3-3-1. I think they were 1-1-1 on their last road trip. They lost in overtime to Utah, and they got blanked to the Predators. They must have been out the night before drinking. Just seems like a lot of things that they're doing wrong to themselves rather than getting beat. Spending a lot of time in the penalty box. Tonight they're down 4-2. I think they've letting up two power play goals. Can't have that.
No, and you're right. It's a disciplinary thing, but they look more like a team that can figure it out. That's young. Like last year, they overachieved as a young team, I think, and they kind of put it together well. The young kids, they played, higher than you would guess. But now they're playing like young kids to start the season. The younger players are playing like that. The fourth line looks amazing.
Slow.
Everyone else looks kind of shaky.
Slow and undisciplined. I think that's what I've seen so far. The guy Zadorov reminded me, when I went to the game, reminded me of Char because he's just tall. But now he's been getting like a penalty every game because you can't get away with like the little things that like a Marshawn will get away with because you're just the biggest guy on the ice.
Yeah.
I think the first 5 games he had 5 penalties.
Yeah.
Like every game he had one. So that's like I just think they're an undisciplined team. They're not that fast because they kind of got bigger on defense. He kind of moved this like skating away for, more of a physical team. Obviously that'll mesh to see where it goes, but I don't know, this thing with Monty.
And in fairness to the Bruins, though, they haven't exactly had a cupcake schedule to start the season.
Oh no, they played the defending champions twice. I mean, the Utah loss, that should be a win.
You don't know.
They should have won.
Vegas should have. Oh, yeah. But then you got the Avalanche. Predators got Stamkos. They have a great goalie. They're probably a playoff team. The Stars, they're going to be a playoff team.
Yeah. Nashville looked really good the other night. I mean, Swayman, I think he had 38 saves, so they were all over him.
Leafs on Saturday. I'll be in attendance. Let's go.
Let's go. Nice. Well, Pasternak's got a goal. Matinee or night game?
Night game.
Nice. None like a night game on a Saturday. You got everything planned out.
UFC fight started too as well.
Oh, wow. So that's just a
Perfect Saturday.
It was almost like it was meant to be.
Perfect.
I mean, like a matinee game. If you had a matinee game, you'd probably miss the fights.
Yeah.
Or you watch them on your phone in the bathroom, and that's kind of like weird. I don't know. But I don't like what I see so far of the Bruins. It's like very uncharacteristic of this franchise. Wow, I had to really sound that out.
Yeah.
Because they're usually dominating in the speed department, and the thing that hurts them is they're not a physical team. Now they're trying to be the opposite, but the things are kind of backlashing in terms of being undisciplined, just not being fast enough to catch up to a couple of these guys. And the goaltending's been fine. I think I don't think there's anything wrong with that so far. The Corsello.
Yeah.
He's been good in his two games. I mean, especially the second game, kind of bounced back there against Colorado. But it's obviously, I think Swayman's going to start like 55, 60 games this year. So you're not going to see the split like him and Ullmark.
But they definitely stand a great chance at improvement. The Patriots don't. They suck.
Yeah.
This team, they get their legs under them. They start to figure it out as the year rolls on. I think that's very possible.
Oh, yeah, no. If you're going to say, like, the Celtics are the only team in town, like, I'll give you the Celtics and the Bruins. You know, they've made the playoffs probably 20 of the last 21 years. And then if you want to be like the Red Sox and Patriots suck, I'll give you that. Like, easily give you that. But enough about the Bruins, like, they're going to show signs of improvement. They're going to be there towards the end. They just got to figure out some stuff. And it's fixable stuff, too. It's not like they don't have the skill. It's not like they don't have the guys who have been there before and done that. It's things that they can clean up. And it starts with 63 and 88. 63 had a little bit of a toss-up with Montgomery the other night. And people were kind of blowing up. But at the end of the day, he finally got to respond to it today, saying, I would have questioned him if he didn't hold me accountable because I think he gave away a puck in the Nashville game. I didn't watch the end of that because the Celtics were on. But
if you read all the stuff on the internet without actually seeing it happen on the bench, the video of it, you will be fucking amazed at how much nothing happens. Like, it was not a, like the internet made it seem like this was a coach, like, berating and, like, beating up, like, the player. Like, he literally is like, wake up, buddy. Yeah. Like, that is literally it. Like, that is it.
That's what Marchand said today. He was basically like, oh, so that's, like, what you're calling it? Like,
yeah, like, you would have thought he fucking Mike Tyson'd him in the fucking, like, locker room. It's just the it was insane.
It's the pussification of America. It's crazy. And like you hear sports talk radio,
dude,
he's trying to get a fuss
stupid,
on something.
Like smack the helmet, be better. Like what the fuck?
And it's not like he's going after the young bucks and being like,
no, it's the captain.
He's the captain, right in front of everyone. Send an example.
Yeah. No, I have no problem with Montgomery doing it at all.
And
neither does Marchand.
Yeah, neither does Marchand.
No one should.
Yeah. Crazy. How like that's the thing. It's just how the world is these days. It's crazy. Speaking of the world, the World Series going on. Possibly the best matchup I'm hearing of all time in the World Series. The Dodgers, the Yankees matchup, which I would have to take a slow roll on that and say, go back to 2018, see who the best teams were that year. Sox, Dodgers. So I'd say the best matchup since 2018. Let's go there. I'll mix in the Red Sox there when I can.
Keep living in the past, buddy.
Oh, it was a great. Best.
Keep living in the past.
Might be the best team of all time, but should be a hell of a series here. Starts Friday night.
It does.
People are like, oh, let's get this going underway. I'm like, dude, this guy's hurt on like both teams. And like all the pitchers have just been pitching every night. Let these guys get like a 5-day rest. About to be playing in the biggest series of their lives.
Yeah, but it helps each team, especially because the Dodgers, they have a lot of pitching injuries. So like their arms were spent. And the Yankees bullpen, I mean.
And Freddie Freeman.
Weaver and fucking them. Freddie Freeman is obviously huge for them as well.
Been getting hurt. I mean, I think the Dodgers, I looked at the odds today, they're slight favorites, but this is unbiased too. Like I'm honestly a fan of a bunch of players on the Yankees. I think Aaron Judge is a class act. Love Verdugo, even though he had his falling out with the Red Sox. I just think the Dodgers have like a lot of talent here, and I've never seen a team be so successful pitching bullpen games and just lights out.
Yeah, no, it's going to be a battle. It's going to be a battle, and I think with what you said about it being the biggest or best matchup, I think it's very rare, especially today, like Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani are the most popular people in this sport by miles.
By miles.
Like, that is the two, like, it is...
Two most feared hitters in baseball.
Like, this is the LeBron-Kobe finals that the NBA wanted for, like, fucking...
Big time.
Did their entire careers, you know what I mean? So it is... It's going to be interesting. It's going to be huge.
Oh, like, as a baseball fan, I'm looking forward to this. I obviously don't want the Yankees to win. I will be rooting for the Dodgers. But... I just want to see a good product. Like, that's all I'm looking for as, like, a...
It has all the makings of a classic. Yeah. It should be fucking incredible.
Gerrit Cole and Jack Flaherty first game. I mean, your best... It says best pitcher's been Carlos Rodon.
He's been great.
He's been great. Lefty. I did watch one of his starts a couple weeks ago, and he had a lot of intensity. That guy brings the heat. A lot of
intensity, yes. And Gerrit Cole has, like, two, maybe three choke jobs against the Red Sox, which is why here... He is not viewed as a good postseason pitcher, but he is statistically throughout his career a very good postseason pitcher.
Okay, so you get Rodon and Schmidt game two and game three.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
Possible Nestor comeback for the bullpen too.
Okay.
They were like, he literally came out and said, he was like, of course I want to come back. Like, if I have to, like, if I blow it, I miss all of next year, but like, I might win the World Series this year. Like, he was like, you got to love that. I mean, that's...
I mean, a series when you got two great teams, you have two great 1-9s. Yeah, starting pitching is going to be... You want to get out to a good start, but I think the X factor in this series is the bullpen. I mean, there's going to be some big-time hits, big-time home runs come this 7th, 8th, 9th inning. If your bullpen isn't holding up, you're not coming out with the trophy.
Oh, yeah, there's no... Like, you can't milk one at-bat versus either team.
Yeah, no.
You can't be like, oh, I'm going to get this guy out and, like, fucking whatever, or, like, ground into, like, that guy can take you deep. Alex Verdugo can take you deep.
Don't sleep on Kiki Hernandez in the ninth spot. I just don't hate that guy.
He's going to have a, he might have a walk-off in this.
He probably will.
I fucking hate that guy.
You think, so what came down, okay, so they, because they had the better record in the regular season, that's why they get home field? They have, like, four games better. Do you think that's like a big... I honestly think like the away team, when you go 2-3-2, because if you grab one on the road and you just sweep back home, you don't even have to go back.
Giancarlo Stanton's been the best hitter in the playoffs.
Yeah, big time.
Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton, career, extremely good hitters in Dodger Stadium.
Ooh.
Extremely.
Oh, wow. And that's like, you haven't said the name once already.
Except when that bullshit fucking cement right field took down Aaron Judge last year. That better be covered up, LA. That better be covered up.
Do you think this is Soto's last series in a Yankees uniform?
No, it's his last series before a $1 billion contract.
Oh, nice. I mean, Philly's been calling.
They won. Who knows? Dude,
maybe the Red Sox will get him.
Yankees locker room. Very great chemistry, better than it's been in years, without a doubt.
I still can't believe that this is the first time in 15 years. I thought they like at least made it one other time and lost. But 15 years, that's a long time for the Yankees. No. Like, now I know, but when they said it after they won, I was like, oh, wow, really?
And who got us there? Juan Soto. Three-run home run. What a fucking beast.
Joe Kelly's day-to-day, if you're wondering.
I'm not.
He could come in.
Tyler Austin's not there anymore to beat him up. So.
Oh, wow. He beat the piss up. I mean, he didn't really...
I knew that would get him going.
He punched him and kind of ran, as he should have. Like, Austin in, like, a UFC fighter, boxing would beat...
Him. One punch is all it's about in a baseball fight. Yeah. After the first punch, everyone's tackling you, everyone's on you. It's about that one punch.
I'll wait till Magic gets here maybe next week, but I watched that Red Sox documentary, and they had the whole Pedro... throwing Don Zimmer thing, like, just hysterical stuff.
Yeah, beating up fucking elderly.
And then Veritek just...
So funny.
Veritek putting his shit in A-Rod's face. I mean, if you go at Tech, you best not miss. That's a savage.
Yeah, take your mask off. That's a pussy.
It's good stuff. Showed a lot of the Nomar trade. The falling out was intense.
We'll watch a second.
Tickets as low as $786 to get in. I did see when they go back to New York, the cheapest ticket is like $2,000.
I was about to say $786, not that bad. Yeah. I was literally about to say like World Series, LA, Yankees, not that bad. Because if you could ever milk the World Series, this is the most milkable World Series of all time.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you could make these tickets $2,000. It's going to be like a sold-out fucking thing. Yeah,
people will go. I feel like the Dodgers haven't been in it since they won the COVID year. And they're on the Lakers. Like, it doesn't really count.
Yes.
But they should be in it. The way they spend money, they should be in it every year. Yankees, a little different. Just the pitching hasn't been as good as it's been this year. Obviously, the bats, I think, have been
and
there.
The Astros cheated.
Yeah, that's fair.
I never wanted, you know, the Astros,
and the Red
cheated.
Sox aren't good. When the Red Sox are good, they usually beat the Yankees. Like, as of in the last 20 years.
I was about to say, that's...
In the last 20 years.
Yeah, okay, sure.
Mm-hmm. We're 30, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Last 20 years, pretty much irrelevancy in sports. Yeah. So since you've been relevant of watching sports, the Red Sox have owned your ass.
The Yankees have literally, like, relevant is not the word you should use. The Yankees are the most universally relevant symbol in all of sports.
4-1.
That's not relevancy. Last 20 years,
4-1.
Do you know what relevant means?
Yes. Are you still here?
I don't think you're getting it.
I am getting it. They're not in the playoffs.
Yeah, 4-1.
But I blame ownership. I blame the GM. This is not a Yankees thing. This is more about the Red Sox than the Yankees themselves. So
no, one's in the World Series right now.
Yeah, the first time in 15 years with the highest payroll in baseball besides the team they're playing probably right now.
Sounds like someone who's not in the World Series right now.
And you got a point. So let's see. So I think it's like -120. I'm probably going to put a little bit on the Dodgers to win. Just so I get a little...
Please do. Sean O'Callaghan, yeah. If you could hear me, put the house on the Dodgers to win. Please.
Sean from Quincy was talking about hedging the presidential election last night, and it's kind of done with that.
Arguably
done
the talking. Most cowardly thing you could do.
Yeah.
But...
Oh, 14-14. Check up on the Thursday night football game. Who, we got another touchdown for...
Oh, I should have put Puka in. Damn it.
Who the hell are these guys? Fucking... Trent Sherfield and Josh Oliver, both touchdowns for the Vikings. None for Addison, none for Jefferson.
That is a hell of a bet.
Jesus. 8 for 8.
Trent Sherfield Sr. If you had that for any time, touchdown, respect.
Who did he used to play? He used to play for, is this the guy from the Bills? Yeah, he played 1 year for the Bills. All right. Yeah, no idea who that, from Vandy. Shout out Vandy.
Beat Bama.
Yeah, anything else? Movies, TV?
Big UFC this weekend.
Big UFC. Oh yeah, we have Max Holloway versus
Ilya Topuria.
Ilya Topuria. I need to get that guy's name right because he's gonna be like a all-time legend.
Should be a good one.
Yeah, Max Holloway, I mean, he has not won this fight in a couple years. I mean, he's lost to Volkan every time. This guy beat Volkan.
Handedly, pretty much.
So it's definitely an uphill climb for him. Obviously going to be rooting for my guy Max, but I don't know, man. I don't think he's going to get done.
But he did come off the Gaethje thing, which definitely got the fucking dog in him back.
Yeah, I really like the co-main event here because Robert Whittaker's a dog.
Yeah.
And he's fighting Khamzat, who hasn't lost. Seems like he put up another fucking dog going against a guy who just hasn't lost. So, yeah. Like, you're looking at two similar fights in terms of, all right, like, we got this fan favorite guy here who just always puts on a show, but he's playing, he's versing a guy where you've never seen him really struggle. And it's going to be, again, an uphill battle in the co-main, again.
No, I agree. And it's two people. I mean, Whittaker just kind of like Holloway, like, I think he has another loss. I can't think of it off the top of my head right now. But, like, Adesanya was, like, his Volkanovski, like, his boogeyman. Like, he was the champion, had it all like that for a while. But it should be a good one.
So, Holloway's a put basically 2-1, plus 200. And then Whittaker's same thing, like, plus 200.
Yeah, well,
so
Khamzat's going to be the favorite in every fight he has until, like, the championship.
They're still, they're very similar odds. Anyone else big?
No, but should be no, two great fights.
Two great fights. 2:00, 2:30, ESPN 8, the Ocho. Should be good stuff. Should be a nice weekend. I mean, we're almost in November, getting 60s and 70s.
Another big thing this weekend is Miami's going to fucking massacre Florida State.
Oh, yeah. What's that point spread?
21, I think.
21? They haven't covered a spread in weeks. So if it's going to be a week to do it, this is the week.
They've played three great fucking...
They have not... Last week, Louisville's not bad. But the Georgia Tech... Is it Virginia Tech?
Can I speak?
Yeah, of course you can, but I'm trying to slow down your roll there.
They have played three great games the past 3 weeks. Like, the U game has been, like, the must-watch. Like, not in fucking big picture, rankings, all that stuff. I'm talking the excitement of the actual game.
That's fair.
They have played the most exciting college football game the last 3 weeks. Yeah,
there's a difference between, like, covering and just being exciting. That's cool.
Don't bet on them. Just watch the game, though.
Navy and Army both undefeated. Navy playing Notre Dame this week. 14-point dogs. How are they only at plus 400 as 14-point dogs? I don't get that at all. But they're actually... I think it's Navy who's starting to pass the ball a little bit, which is nuts. Yeah, he got 10 touchdown passes. Usually he's just running and gunning the whole time.
That might be their total of the last decade. Yeah. Actually, no, they had Keenan Reynolds, and he was both for a while. So,
but if they somehow win and it goes down to Army and Navy, like in the big game to see who goes to the playoffs, that would be nasty.
That would be fucking sick.
I'm also hearing that, so they're both in the AAC, the American Athletic Conference. And they're both in first and second place. So if that ends the way it does, they would play each other 2 weeks in a row. Which is, that would be, at that point, just be like, no, let's just play one game. Just have it be all for all the marbles.
No, run it back.
Run it back?
Run it back.
That's a lot of rushing attempts.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
I guess we'll end on that. Episode 174 in the books. Anything else?
No, go this Yankees.
Go Yankees.
Go Bruins when I'm there Saturday.
Yeah, I want to give a right the big shout out to the office of Patrick J. Foley, located at 265 Willard Street, Quincy, Massachusetts. Need any real estate law advice or just anything in general, he's your guy, man. Always.
Always.
Steel and Naz, we'll see you next week or another time.
All about the U. Fuck Florida State.
Go Wolves.